Hi, I'm Ann DeLisi.
And I'm Chef James Regatto.
And in this episode of Essential Cooking, we speak with Chef Barda, owner of Barda in Core City, Detroit. We talk about his time working under Argentinian chef Francis Malman, and we talk about his own work to highlight South American and Argentinian cuisine on the world stage.
So our next guest is Chef Javier Bardawi from Argentina, and he is, you might have known this name, Barda, from the restaurant Barda, in what they call Core City, over there in the former Magnet space. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to dig into it, but not just any space, a very unique restaurant space that I don't just think anybody could take on. But coincidentally, Argentinian cuisine is all about the wood fire. So, Chef, thank you so much for joining us. We're happy
Thank you for having me.
That was our pleasure. I've eaten there a number of times. I love your food. I love your restaurant. I love bread and I loved Magnet, and that you know, he's kind of a favorite chef in the area, and you know, had big shoes to fill in that space because the concept was so unique. I mean, it was really no gas lines, all wood fire, big flavors. I mean, blue tile from, you know, floor to ceiling. Yeah. It's a very unique space. And I think that it almost feels like it was more built for you than it was for Brad, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, that's amazing. I felt that when I came to the restaurant the first time. But I think that restaurant, I think like this restaurant is a tool for me. I don't have to fill someone else's shoes. For me, it was a tool, and I knew it. I know how to use it. So for me, it was natural to step in and do my thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal. And of course, the restaurant, the building is amazing. It's beautiful.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that whole area, Core City, you know, what Phil, you know, has done over there is really impressive.
I was criticized not to change the restaurant.
Sure.
But I mean, the restaurant is perfect as it is.
There's nothing to change.
And I don't have a big ego, so.
No, and I think it was really, you know, for those that haven't been, I mean, it's a beautiful, it's very durably built. Tile. It's like, I mean, it's like
it's a well thought restaurant.
It's meant to be, you know, you could it's meant to be cooked in with high heat, lots of smoke, lots of wood, lots of durable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's meant to be used. So I wouldn't have changed anything, to be honest. Like I think if you've been criticized for that, it's maybe somebody who just doesn't understand, you know, what a restaurant is. But I wouldn't have changed anything either. But let's back up a little bit, because how long have you been here in the Detroit area?
3 years.
And before that, it was Miami, right?
No, I was living in Buenos Aires.
Okay, but you lived in Miami for
I lived in Buenos Aires in 2005, if I remember.
In Miami.
In Miami.
Yes. And then you went back to Buenos Aires.
Yes, okay. And then by that time, Ignacio is my business partner. We were living at the same time in Miami. And then by that time, we started thinking about having a restaurant together.
But
in Miami.
Okay.
And we did a research, didn't happen, but so many years later, boom, here we are.
So where did he go? After Miami. You go back to Argentina.
Yes, and he stayed there.
Okay.
And then he moved to here.
Did he bring you to Detroit?
Yep.
Okay.
He called me once, yeah.
And so where do you start cooking in your life in Argentina?
I start cooking in awful places.
Yeah, like most of us start.
Yes. until I started cooking with Francis Malman. I had this parent who knew the accountant, the Francis Malman accountant.
Okay.
So that way I squeeze in to that kitchen.
And for those that don't know, I mean, Francis Malman is one of the world's greatest chefs.
Yeah.
He's kind of famous for wood-fired outdoor cooking. If you follow him on Instagram, I think they've done chef's tables. There's plenty of material. You can just YouTube him or Google him. But a world talent. I mean, that's not just a name. If you don't know the name, because I understand not everyone's paying attention to the chefs of the world, but that's no small name to work under.
No, you're right, and I knew it. That's why I did my best to squeeze in, because it was so packed of people trying to get in all the time to that restaurant, and this guy is Francis Malman. was about to open another one called Patagonia Sur in a beautiful place in Buenos Aires called La Boca. It's for tourists, mm-hmm. most. So I did my best and I get a spot inside that kitchen. And I was one of the first and only cooks building that restaurant and launching that restaurant.
Wow.
That was amazing.
And how old were you then?
23, 24.
Yeah, so pretty early in your development.
Yeah, no more than 25. I don't remember right now.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So after that, and working for Francis Palman is always a big deal.
Yeah.
So, and I was very young.
What's the biggest thing you learned from him?
I learned a lot of things, but the most important thing is how to build an experience for guests. That was for me the most important lesson that I learned from Francis Malman. How we build memories in people's mind. Mm-hmm. It's not just a dinner. We are thinking all the possible ways we're going to affect the memory. And that's the thing. That's when someone is leaving your restaurant and really feels happy.
I think what I love about Barda when I go there is obviously the concept is, you know, you can smell it, right? You can see the wood stacked outside. It's a wood-fired restaurant.
You see my pillow every night.
But when I go there, I think my favorite things are, I told you this the other day when we were talking, but I love your raw ingredients. I love your, you know, the anything that's like high acid, chilled, like it's the opposite of what you expect, right? Obviously the things that are involving wood smoke are delicious. You do a great job with all of your dishes, but I walk away like, wow, the items that maybe people aren't ordering or are so, you know, aren't kissed by the smoke, so therefore they think it's not you know, center of the plate. I love the vegetables and the ceviches and the different dishes that surprise me. I mean, you could run a restaurant without wood fire. It's not like you're one trick pony. You're a very talented chef, and I think that's what's so unique about your concept is that it's not just like a one note experience. You do walk away with wonderful cocktail program. I mean, your bartenders over there are amazing, and then, you know, yes, you can have a very dynamic experience. When you talk about memory, it's funny because I you know, when I think of Varda, I think of high acid, you know, like very full flavored dishes that, you know, it's not the wood fire that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
No, you're right. The experience happens or beginning at the very end, at the very beginning when you're open the door and you go and you start listening to music and you are embraced by the red neon and the smoke.
Yeah.
And all the people are like very exciting people inside the restaurant, and the servers are very, very well trained about making you feel like home.
Yeah.
Something that we are bringing from Buenos Aires.
It's a very immersive experience. And I think that it feels like another country. You know, I think
that's nice.
When you travel, or, you know, I feel like when you go into somewhere where you're like, whoa, this isn't necessarily like the Midwest, or this doesn't feel like something too familiar. You know, and I think that, you know, something that, like I said, that it's a building you found, but it really was such a great match for you. It's, you know,
yes,
it's
like, it was.
Yeah. It's like putting on that vintage leather jacket that is like, oh my God, was this tailored to me?
Yep.
So what brought you to Detroit? Like, how did you find out about this restaurant? Your partner found out about it. How did that whole process come to be that it actually got you here?
My business partner called me. I was in my own birthday party, so I barely pay attention. But he told me that what was happening here in Detroit. He was living here, and he told me that the restaurant scene was blooming. He told me that it was almost no risk about bringing that idea of having a restaurant together. So I did my research and I tried to see what was happening in Detroit, and I came here, and it was summer. I came alone, and it was summer, and it was beautiful. Everything was beautiful. All the restaurants were packed. I went to your restaurant. I was really shocked about, because it was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I remember all those feelings about being in a major city like mm-hmm. with no place to go, with no reservation.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed my stay here in Detroit. I went back full of energy, and I talked with my family. I talked with my wife, and that was the beginning. Yep.
What did you know about Detroit before you came here? What were your preconceptions?
All the
things
I knew for about Detroit was given to me by RoboCop, the movie.
Oh.
Yes.
And you still came.
Yeah, the documentary RoboCop.
Yes. Yes.
That's perfect. I mean, yeah, okay, I'll take it. Now, was it hard to convince your wife?
No, we had this... we already did this. I don't know how to... I'm used to talking present tense all the time, so mm-hmm. right now it's a challenge for me.
Right? No, it's okay.
Talking about the past.
You had done this before.
Yes, so, thank you. We haven't done this before.
And there was an understanding that you wanted to open a restaurant in America.
I was tired to cook. I ran my own company mm-hmm. for 8 years, and it was a very successful company back in Buenos Aires. But I was doing lunch boxes for 1,000 of lunch boxes every day. It was a huge company.
Successful, but not satisfying.
No, I was almost dying.
Yeah.
But we discussed with my wife at the moment. I had my kids when I was 35, the first one at least. So, and I didn't want to miss the opportunity to raise my kids.
That's wonderful.
So I changed. I step out of the restaurant industry, and I built my own company, and it was very successful, but I was boring. I was missing the adrenaline, you know, the things you like.
Yeah.
So that was a very, very great opportunity for me to start thinking about having a restaurant again.
Because you came here, and the first time I ever heard somebody mention your name, I feel like it was private. It was like, someone's like, oh, this... Yeah. Argentinian guy did a private dinner for us, and it was so cool. Have you heard of him? And I was like, no, I didn't.
Nope.
I looked you up, and I was like, oh, that's very exciting. And I didn't know at the time. I just was, you know, through Instagram. I was like, wonder what this dude's doing here. And then, you know, a few months later, I was like, okay, this makes sense.
I remember trying to squeeze in your kitchen too.
Yeah. I honestly, when I messaged you recently, I saw an unresponded to request, and I was like, what the hell? Because before he opened mm-hmm. Barda, he's like, hey, I want to come stage. And I would have loved it. You're more than welcome anytime you want to come stage with us.
Too late.
but you know, and like I said, I didn't, you know, we didn't meet, I don't believe, when you came
exactly.
to the restaurant.
Yep.
So, thank you for the kind words too. But, you know, I think that's one of my favorite things about this food scene here in Southeast Michigan. And I say that because, I mean, really, you can get great. I actually went to a taqueria last night on 18 and Van Dyke, and it was incredible. And, you know, on Sunday I was at Spencer in Ann Arbor, which was incredible. So, like, that's a huge distance. Any other part of the world, those are like 20 cities apart. But Southeast Michigan's one big, you know, bubble. But I feel like this is one of the more receptive areas for new things. You know, if you look at Dearborn with our, you know, Middle Eastern community and how diverse that is. Yep. If you look at the history and, you know, Detroit's always been open arms for entrepreneurs that want to do something interesting. It's really like an, you know, if you're an artist, I think that this is a great playground.
And I feel that. You guys are very open-minded. That's why I have a place here. And I saw that when I came here the first time. I mean, the way you're doing your menu, for example, is something that is very unexpected.
Yeah, that's definitely, and it, you know, it's, I think that the challenge, and it's a good challenge, I like it, of the Midwest is that the diners are curious, but not always super experienced. So there is some education. I'm sure you deal with this too in your restaurant. Is like, there are some times where you have to kind of like front load information and say, hey, just so you know, this is what's, you know, this is kind of what this dish is. Or this is the direction we're going. Or, you know, you kind of demystify some things. Sometimes the menu can be intense, you know, or sound scary. You know, like good examples, like liver mousse is always like,
oh yeah.
You know? But then if you explain it, well, it's a fruit compote with the liver mousse, it kind of tastes like peanut butter and jelly. And then you kind of, like, you know, you're disarming them. And they're like, oh, okay, for sure.
And then boom, it's too late. Yeah,
exactly. So to me, I think that that's the challenge of the Midwest is that sometimes you have to kind of, you know, defend yourself, you know, kind of say, hey, don't worry. But if you do a great job, there's a captive audience. And I think, you know, that's a testament to, well, you guys just got the James Beard you know, nomination.
Yep.
And that's no small feat for year two, three. What year are you guys in?
One year-ish.
Yeah. So you're in your second year now, right? Because you're over a year old. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're in your second year. For the people listening, I was giving you grief the other day because you guys run a 4-day week, right?
Yeah.
So just as you can't just walk in there any old night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
You're right.
Yeah,
we are too lazy for more,
which is great. I'm teasing. It's great, but so those that are excited about it, you can't just run out there any old time. It's Thursday through Sunday, and are you mostly reservation?
Always room for walk-ins. Always.
Always room for walk-ins. Okay, so feel free to walk in, but obviously check the business hours. And how often are you changing your menu?
All the time. Every time I really see the possibility to change something, some supplier bring me something that I don't know, I like to change all the time. I have that personality on
me.
So,
is there anything in Michigan that you've come across where you were like, I wasn't expecting, like, you know, quality wise, like whether it's dairy or the, you know, the, obviously beef is probably a touchy subject for you. Argentina's like,
no, you guys have a really good steak here.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Absolutely. As good as the Argentinian one.
Yeah.
So it's not better.
Now, why is Argentinian beef so famous? Because anybody that knows about, if you were to look up like Argentinian cuisine, the first thing that Google's going to give you is
There is no such a thing.
Yeah.
Argentinian cuisine, what is that?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Spanish guys, Italian guys coming to the country and we just took what it was best for us.
Yeah.
Pasta, pizza.
So what, so when you, if you were to go to a, like a famous restaurant in, because I've never been to Buenos Aires, I'm dying to, but I haven't. What would you say, like, what is the food scene there like? Like, what are the most highest performing restaurants? Are they tasting menu restaurants?
Yeah, tasting menu, most of them.
And then
very creative.
And then is there always kind of a European tone?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of the style came from Spain and Italy. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So that's not a hard sell then to transition into the Midwest, in my opinion.
You know, no,
it's not like you're pitching something that's like
no,
fermented shark from Iceland.
I'm
or
not
something.
Coming from Middle East and, or some fire. I mean, cultural way wise, we are very similar, and Argentina is always looking up north, like United States, all the time. So for me, your culture is very familiar.
Got it.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That's good. I think that's good because I think that's helped you transition in the restaurant scene so well. Because you can imagine traveling thousands of miles to open a business. I mean, it's a pretty daunting idea.
Yeah.
And if you were to tell me, hey, go open a restaurant in South America, I'd say, I don't know where to start. I don't even know how. But that's an interesting point of view.
Yeah.
So you still do everything wood-fired, right? What are the challenges?
I don't have any other chance.
What are the challenges of getting the wood all, like a constant source of wood? Has that been a challenge for you?
Where do you get your wood from?
A couple guys, because there's always an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have three different suppliers, and I'm trying to...
Yeah, and what are you all... Is there a variety of woods?
Or? Yes, okay. we are burning hickory, apple wood, and oak.
Is there a wood you wish you could... source, but you can't?
Yes. Roble from Argentina. It's amazing. Roble. It's like an oak.
Okay.
Very hard wood.
So it burns
red.
Hot.
It burns a lot of with... it's very hard, so it takes so long to burn.
Yeah.
It's a really nice wood for smelling.
Yeah.
You know, for smoking things.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's...
But I'm okay. No complaints.
I was gonna say it's probably a little too expensive to to cart that up here.
Yes.
And your family has acclimated to being in Detroit?
Yeah, my family's so happy. My kids, they don't wanna go back.
Really?
Yep. They told me that. And it was amazing for me.
That's
discover.
That's nice to know that better than the opposite.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
No, they love to live here. They blend so well. Because of probably this thing, that this connection with American culture that we have in Argentina. So they were like very, I mean, sinful was part of our culture, so to speak.
What was?
Sinful. Sinful? The comedian?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Seinfeld.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, for so, sure. Yeah.
There is no such an effort for us.
That's
to,
fair. Yeah. If yeah. you got to say, then you got some like quirky, you know, yeah. If you understand Seinfeld, you're probably ready to move to America. Speaking of Seinfeld, do you go to New York?
Yes.
And is that, were you already going to New York before you moved to Detroit? Have you like?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. When I was working here in 2005, I think I was working for a company who was sending me to like a corporate chef kind of thing.
Okay.
So I traveled a lot inside United States. I came to Ohio. I spent 3 months in Ohio long time ago. I don't know what happened in between. Doing a tournament, golf tournament or something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a huge company.
Yeah.
Of course I knew New York before coming here.
Yeah, definitely.
And I went there a couple of times and I keep myself traveling in Europe, United States.
I mean, that really sets you apart. I think that gives it, it sounds like so much of your life was preparing for this restaurant opening. You really were putting in your research. Cause I think that, you know, to understand the American audience, especially, you know, when you want to do something for the neighborhood, that's one thing. If you want to do it for like the county, the region, but you know, when you start getting James Beard attention, now you're talking about a national audience and you're representing American cuisine now, which is everybody. You know, American cuisine is very open to all.
Like Argentinian and, word.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when you are designing your beverage program, or you have a team, obviously, this beverage program, how much influence do you want your team to think about Argentina?
I'm very annoying about that.
You are annoying?
Regarding, yeah. So, yeah, we spend a huge amount of time drinking, trying. I brought some liquors from Argentina. So, and the almost entire wine list is from South America because I want to showcase South America as much as possible. It's the only thing I can bring here.
For sure.
What else?
Well, I mean, there's also a tremendous range of wine. I mean, there's a huge landmass of growing regions down there. And there's not a huge audience. I mean, people love wine, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of friends that are deeply committed to South American wines. There's not a great exposure.
No.
Maybe there's a couple of varietals that people are used to, but we don't have the exposure.
But for me, it's a way to showcase the soil, the terroir. We have really young wines. It's really different to drink something from Europe. It's very old vines over there.
Yeah.
But it's the opposite in South America. It's very young and the soil is different, the weather. So, yeah, I like to bring this experience to Detroiters.
So other than Buenos Aires, where would you say is a destination in South America that is overlooked? Because obviously people know the top like contenders.
Peru, right? For sure.
So where would you go in Peru? Lima?
Yes.
So Lima, Peru is...
Yes,
I mean,
it's
don't
amazing.
You think, Lima probably... I mean, Lima's doing okay and the people know about it. It's good PR. Where's like... Where do people not even think about?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
There's no wine region. There's no
wine region in Peru for sure. But I mean, outstanding wines.
Yeah,
I would probably go to Chile.
Chile?
Yeah,
because I have never been to anywhere in South America, and like when I start thinking about it, it's like I want to go to Colombia or Bogota, Colombia. And,
yeah.
You know, motorcycle. Do I want to go to, you know, Buenos Aires and have a cosmopolitan experience? Like, it's very South America is like it's a very foreign land in my head because I've never traveled down there. Have you, Anne?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'd love to go. Now maybe I'm getting crazy here, but like, you want to take anybody with you? You want to arrange a trip? I mean, I feel like
we should.
I was just saying, you should build.
No, listen. When I'm thinking very seriously, and I was talking with some of the winemakers in Buenos Aires, in Mendoza, to do a pop-up.
Yes.
And I'm thinking very seriously too. I'm committed to that. And we're going to go all together.
And
we're going to make a mess.
I would recommend you reach out to a travel company and put something together because I think an annual pilgrimage down to Argentina for wine and for food, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think I would sign up for it. And I also think there's plenty of people that would.
Oh, yes.
So this is... I encourage you to, like, with the path that you're on now,
I'll take it.
I think you should continue. I think you should continue to, like, if you really, yeah, you want to feature Argentinian wines, you want to feature South America. I think, like, keep going, because there's been so many rewards I've seen bestowed upon you and for your risks you took here. I think you should keep going with those risks. That'd be very exciting.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, a couple more Detroit-centric questions, I want to ask you, do you have a favorite, and this is, I'm not asking for a compliment, but is there a favorite restaurant that you go to, like, frequently? So, like, don't say Mabel.
I'm not going to any restaurant.
You don't go anywhere frequently?
No.
Not even, like, a Coney Island? Where do you get your breakfast at? Coffee?
Well, we are very French kind of driving breakfast, so it's, for us, it's coffee, black coffee, toast, jelly,
at home.
Butter. Yes,
at home.
Yeah, we barely go out.
Have you found a favorite pizza?
Yes, Supino's.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yes, Supino's for me is a really good pizza.
And then, how about fast food? What is your relationship with fast food? Do you let your kids eat fast food?
Yes.
Yeah. What are
these guys? they like Popeye.
Popeyes.
Yeah, the sandwich, the chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So the spicy one?
The spicy one.
So your kids are...
Oh, my kids are... Yeah,
they're used eating, to spicy food.
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, well, no, in Argentina, there's no room for
spicy food.
Well, yeah, but I'm not a usual cook. I'm not a usual chef.
So you don't
chef.
Represent like...
No, I don't represent
the
establishment in Argentina.
You're a rebel.
Yes, that's why I'm here.
Because, I mean, your food
Where
is...
Where else?
Your food is not...
It's not Argentinian.
It's not unspicy. I mean, it's like, you know, there's definitely, you know, you're the flavors that you bring. I mean, high acid, high heat, high salt. I love that kind of eating. That's what I'm drawn to at Barda, is like, you get a lot of experiences per plate.
That's true.
And then what about you? Where's your guilt? Like, if you're getting fast food, you know, late night, you have to get something, you're starving, where are you going?
Oh, I'm going home and open. No, listen. I open my fridge, and this is my diet every night. A beer and a cheese sandwich. That's it.
So you never eat fast food?
No.
Wow. All right.
No. I'm not feel attractive.
I'm a Taco Bell guy, man. I have no shame. I'll get
Taco. Well, I love tacos.
Taco Bell.
No, Taco Bell. Come on, give me a break.
I will eat Taco Bell.
That's baby food. After, in a wrap.
Of course it is. After midnight, 2 a.m, I'm eating Taco Bell. Now I do. I don't think you should eat Taco Bell in the daylight. That is weird.
Yeah.
But I think after midnight, I approve.
It's like a bad day, right?
Or well, a beer and a cheese sandwich. Yeah.
Well, Chef, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Like I said, if to anybody listening that is in the area of Barda, you have to go make a reservation or walk in. Fantastic restaurant. Try everything. I look forward to seeing what you do in the future. Anne and I look forward to your trip down to Argentina. We're coming with you. And yeah, just congratulations on all the accolades, and I'm sure it's just the beginning.
Thank you, James. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chef.
Our thanks to Chef Barda for joining us. Thanks to you for listening, and...
We would like to thank La Marca Prosecco for their support. From the hills of Veneto, Italy, you can never go wrong with Prosecco, whether it's in a spritz or drinking straight.
Essential Cooking is produced by me, Anne DeLisi, along with my co-host, Chef James Rigotto. This episode was edited, mixed, and mastered by Connor Anderson, with production support from David Lyons and Patrick Burness. Original music by the Mallet Brothers. Essential Cooking is a production of WDET, Detroit's NPR station.